Trading Club Pro Update, week of August 3, 2026. Welcome to this audio issue of Trading Club Pro, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Editor's note: for the month of August, we're shifting the publication schedule for the Trading Club to bi-weekly updates. We will post our next update on August 21st, and then return to our regular weekly publishing schedule on September 4th. The value of the Trading Club Pro tracking portfolio settled at $109,303, as of Thursday, August 6th, up 9.3% since the June 22, 2026 inception date. See the detailed portfolio snapshot below. We made no trades this week. In this issue, we continue our coverage of the latest Q2 earnings reports from several of our portfolio holdings. Celsius: disappointing Q2. Results lead to overreaction. Celsius Holdings, NASDAQ, sell, delivered disappointing Q2 results on Thursday, with revenue of $818 million coming in $52 million below the consensus analyst forecasts. Meanwhile, earnings per share, EPS of 36 cents also disappointed relative to the 42 cents consensus estimate for the quarter. The big concern came from unexpected weakness in sales of the company's flagship Celsius brand, where revenues declined 12% year-on-year, YoY, as well as a 13% drop in Rockstar sales. On the positive side, these declines were offset by a 21% YoY increase in Alani Nu sales, leading to overall revenue growth of 10.6% versus the prior year. The declines in Celsius and Rockstar jarred investors, sending the shares plunging by as much as 20% yesterday. While the poor performance in these two brands is a concern, we believe the headline numbers overstated the scope of the sales declines, leading to a significant overreaction in the company's share price. First, it's important to note there's always a divergence between overall revenue, which is heavily influenced by shifts in inventory levels at retailers, versus the retail-level store sales data that provides a direct indicator of consumer demand. At the retail level, Celsius sales dropped by a modest 2% in Q2 versus the overall revenue decline of 12%. The primary culprit for the revenue hit from Celsius came from an aggressive SKU rationalization program, in which management removed some of the weaker Celsius products from store shelves in Q2. In total, the company eliminated 7% of its distribution points for the brand as part of this rationalization process. The upside from clearing out weaker inventory was a significant jump in sales productivity for the remaining Celsius products, leading to a 16% quarter-over-quarter increase in sales per distribution point. And some of the brand's newer products are showing promise, including the new Celsius Fizz Free line, which saw sales increase 20% COSI. So on the one hand, management has erred in overextending the Celsius brand with an excess supply of weak product offerings. But the Q2 data points give us reason to believe that the core brand remains healthy. And we're pleased to see management aggressively cutting its losers and doubling down on what works. Meanwhile, the primary overhang on Rockstar sales in the last several quarters has been a result of the company working through a new distribution integration following the August 2025 acquisition of the brand from PepsiCo, PEP. Here again, there's reason for cautious optimism as the integration finished on time and on budget in June. On the earnings call, management cited green shoots and accelerating sales growth under the new distribution platform. Despite the sluggish numbers for Celsius and Rockstar, we did see some bright spots in the report. This included progress in the international expansion of the Celsius brand, where sales increased 10% to $27 million in Q2. Management reiterated its target of achieving more than 15% of total revenue outside of the U.S. within 5 years, with Alani Nu slated to reach new international markets in 2027. The biggest bright spot remains the ongoing success of Alani Nu, which has turned into a powerhouse brand. Here again, inventory movements understated the strength of Alani Nu sales in Q2. Despite only registering 21% overall revenue growth in Q2, at the retail level Alani Nu sales increased by an impressive 55.7% in Q2. And for the first half of 2026, the brand generated over $1 billion in retail sales, ending June with an 8.7% share of the total U.S. energy drink category. And that brings us to the bull thesis for Celsius going forward. We believe the shares are too cheap based purely on the value of Alani Nu alone. In the energy drink world, the top brands typically trade at a 10x or higher sales multiple. That was the case for Celsius when it first crossed over the $1 billion mark in annual sales in 2023, at which time it commanded a $12 billion enterprise value. And today, the industry leader Monster Beverage, MNST, generates $9 billion in annual sales and trades at a $90 billion enterprise value. It's also worth noting that Monster's 10x sales multiple is for a business growing at 10% per year, the same growth rate Celsius posted in Q2. With Alani Nu now generating $2 billion in annualized sales, we believe this brand alone is worth $20 billion. But for the sake of conservatism, we'll assign a 50% discount to the typical 10x sales multiple and estimate a fair value of $10 billion. Now consider that, at $24 per share, the entire Celsius business that includes the Alani Nu, Rockstar, and Celsius brands trades for an enterprise value of just $7.8 billion. In other words, Celsius currently trades at a 20% discount to the value of Alani Nu alone, which means the market has effectively assigned zero value to the Celsius and Rockstar brands. Even while fully acknowledging the struggles at Celsius and Rockstar, we believe they're worth a lot more than zero. And we also believe there's a potential strategic buyer that could easily swoop in and acquire all three brands, PepsiCo, which already owns 11% of Celsius. While there's no indication that Pepsi is considering such a move, when assets get cheap enough, buyers tend to emerge. And we believe this potential takeout scenario ultimately puts a floor under the share price. For now, we see tremendous value in Celsius shares purely based on the ongoing strength of Alani Nu. And if management can reignite sales momentum in the Celsius and Rockstar brands, that's more upside potential, as the market has effectively discounted the entire value of these assets. Thus, we plan to continue with our strategy of selling options around a core Celsius position, harvesting the elevated volatility premiums while retaining upside to what we believe is a substantially higher fair value. Next up, we'll take a look at two of our software holdings that reported stellar financial results, but were met with a renewed bout of selling pressure. Figma, successfully monetizing AI graphics design platform Figma, NYSE, FIV, reported Q2 earnings on Wednesday, which included a 48% YoY increase in revenue to $370 million, handily exceeding analyst expectations of $352 million. This marked the company's third consecutive quarter of accelerating revenue growth, a trend that should dispel fears of AI disruption eating into demand for its products. Adjusted EPS also surprised to the upside at 8 cents versus analyst estimates of 4 cents. One minor blemish on the report was a modest deceleration in the revenue retention rate, which fell from 139% to 136%. But even at this slightly lower renewal number, Figma remains in the elite tier of software companies in terms of its product stickiness. Several key data points in the report showed that the company is capitalizing on AI rather than suffering from disruption. Q2 marked the first full quarter of Figma's AI credit offerings. Chief Financial Officer Pravir Melwani noted that customers are increasing both the number of per-seat licenses as well as AI credit add-ons. More than 80% of paid customers generating over $10,000 in annual revenue are now consuming AI credits, indicating broad-based adoption rather than a narrow power user cohort. This included the following notable example that management highlighted on the earnings call. One of the world's largest technology companies expanded its enterprise contract with Figma in Q2, purchasing an AI credit add-on covering more than 25,000 total paid seats, with the company now having more paid seats held by engineers than designers. All signs point toward continued momentum ahead. Management raised its Q3 revenue guidance to $374 million, exceeding the consensus Q3 forecast of $365 million going into the report. For the full year, the company also raised its revenue guidance to $1.46 billion, reflecting a growth rate of 38% YoY. Our takeaway: we not only see no evidence of the AI threat to Figma in the numbers, but the company is successfully monetizing new AI features on top of its existing seat-based pricing model. And while the stock price declined following the earnings release, we saw nothing not to like in the report. We suspect this may have simply been a case of selling the news in response to the positive Q2 numbers following a 75% rally off the lows in the past 6 weeks, but we see no reason to take profits on the position. We believe a similar dynamic was at play with another one of our software holdings that continues defying fears of AI disruption. Axon, exceeding expectations and raising guidance. Law enforcement hardware and software supplier Axon Enterprise, NASDAQ, Axon, reported Q2 earnings on Wednesday, with revenue increasing 35% YoY to $904 million versus forecasts of $876 million. This marked Axon's 10th consecutive quarter of 30% or better revenue growth. And while there was noise in the net income statement due to a one-time tax benefit, the adjusted EPS came in at $1.88, or roughly in line with estimates of $1.89. The company's adjusted EBITDA, earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, increased 41% YoY to reach $242 million, reflecting a robust 26.8% margin. The company's high-margin software segment continued growing at a solid pace of 36% YoY, driven primarily by a combination of new users and increased adoption of premium services including Axon Fusus and Axon 911. Meanwhile, the company's emerging and fast-growing counter-drone revenue topped $100 million for the first time. Hardware sales also remained robust at 35% YoY growth, fueled by strong demand for the company's latest conducted energy weapon, the Taser 10. The company noted it received the largest individual Taser order in company history, as well as nine-figure deals with two major U.S. cities during the quarter. And these hardware sales will ultimately filter into additional high-margin software contracts down the road. Looking ahead, there's plenty of reason for optimism, with future contracted bookings increasing by 41% YoY to $15.1 billion in the quarter. Given the strong sales momentum during the quarter, along with a growing order backlog, management raised its forecast for 2026 revenue growth to 33%, up from 31% previously. Despite the excellent quarterly report and an improving outlook, Axon shares sold off in the wake of the Q2 report. As with Figma, we believe this may have been another case of profit taking after a rally of more than 50% in the weeks leading up to the report. We see no reason to sell and thus plan to continue holding shares. Turning point: marketing investments paying off. Turning point Brands NYSE, TPB, a leading maker of smoke-free and smoking accessory products, reported Q2 results on Tuesday, which included revenue growth of 22.5% to $143 million, exceeding estimates of $129 million. The strength was fueled by the company's modern oral segment that includes the FRE and ALP brands, which posted another quarter of triple-digit revenue growth. Operating income fell 50% to $15 million due to a 91% YoY increase in sales, general and administrative, SG&A, expenses that reached $77 million in Q2. As we've written about previously, this aggressive investment into marketing the FRE and ALP brands is part of management's strategy of sacrificing near-term profitability in pursuit of long-term market share gains. Given the high brand loyalty in nicotine products, we believe these investments can ultimately pay off with many years of highly profitable recurring revenue from customers that try these brands once and stick with them for life. What gives us confidence in the power of the FRE and ALP brands is the fact that these market share gains are coming without engaging in the price wars we've seen emerge between the top players like Philip Morris Zinn and British American Tobacco's Velo brands. We can see this in the fact that gross profits held up and scaled in line with revenue growth, increasing by 22% YoY to $81.5 million in the quarter. This tells us Turning Point is not resorting to price cuts in order to hit its growth targets. Meanwhile, the company's marketing investments appear to be paying off as growth accelerates. Management raised its full-year estimate for modern oral sales up 22% to $265 million. If it hits these targets, the company will be close to generating half of its total sales from nicotine pouches by year-end. Our long-term view on Turning Point remains the same. It offers the ultimate expression of our bullish view on the growth of the overall nicotine pouch market. Assuming it continues executing on its current trajectory, it will quickly become a pure play on two of the fastest-growing, emerging brands in the industry. Next, we'll show each position in the portfolio broken down by trade type. Portfolio review. The table below shows all current holdings as of the close of trading on Thursday, August 6. A few notes on how to read and interpret this portfolio table. Please pay special attention to the action column, where we specify whether each trade is a buy or sell to open transaction. Next, the position size for each trade is equal to the current value of the position, with the exception of the cash-secured puts. In the case of the cash-secured puts, we define the position size as the total value of our future commitment to purchase 100 shares for each contract. This number is calculated as follows. Position size equals number of contracts x 100 x put strike price. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. For example, in the case of the Waterbridge Infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, $30 puts, the position size equals 2 by 100 x $30 equals $6,000. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. It's commonly referred to as the notional value of the trade. To see the current profit/loss across each open position and other details, please see the live snapshot of our tracking portfolio at the end of this update. We have compiled a summary overview of the latest quarterly trades released on June 22, which you can find here. Since then, we have recommended the additional trades listed below. On July 17, we recommended purchasing shares of Novo Nordisk, NYSE, NVO, which you can find here. On July 21, we recommended purchasing shares of Hims and Hers Health, NYSE, Hims, and we provided the analysis for the company on July 24, which you can find here. As a reminder, we calculate the leverage ratio using the following formula. Leverage ratio equals total long exposure slash portfolio equity value. We define total long exposure as the sum of all long positions, including uncovered stocks, covered stocks, cash secured puts, and option purchases. In the current portfolio, as of Wednesday's close, these values were as follows. Note, we show each value in our portfolio table below. Uncovered stocks, $73,830, covered stocks, $25,408, netting out the underlying stock value against the covered call value. Put sales, $41,500. This notional value is the value of stock we've committed to purchasing. Long options positions, $1,210. Adding up all of these values gives us $141,948 of total long exposure in our current tracking portfolio. We then divide this number into our account equity of $109,303 to arrive at a 130% leverage ratio, well within our self-prescribed limit of 150%. If you have any questions or feedback, the Trading Club Forum is the best chance to get a quick response from our team. Alternatively, you can always email us at mailbag@porterandcompanyresearch.com. Good investing. Ross Hendricks, Porter & Company. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hoped you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 best buys where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 best buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.